Well, we're heading into a new school year, and as such, it's right that we consider issues regarding lung health. Letitia Harding is joining us for a kōrero today. Letitia is the Chief Executive of the Asthma Foundation of NZ. She's had 2.5 decades of experience in the health sector and also received last year a President's Award by the Thoracic Society of Australia and New Zealand for her advocacy and education around the dangers of vaping. Around 1 in 8 Kiwi kids suffer with asthma, and Letitia says that the back-to-school season is often a very sensitive time for them. Parents and educators should be prepared for an increase in hospitalisations due to asthma attacks during the first few weeks of the new term. And it's recommended everyone understand the signs of an attack and how to react. We'll talk all of this through with Letitia Harding, who's joining us for a kōrero today. Hey, Letitia, tēnā koe, it's me, Dale.
Tēnā koe, Dale.
Good to talk with you again, Letitia. Okay, so 1 in 8 New Zealand kids had some sort of asthma connection. Flesh this one out a little bit for us, please. Why would that be so?
Yeah, I mean, New Zealand has a high rate of asthma. Anyway, 1 in 8 kids and also 1 in 8 adults have asthma. And I think with the back to school, it's just a really important time to make sure your kids have a child asthma management plan. But also, if your child does have asthma, to talk to your school and make sure that they have an asthma management policy as well. That's really important.
Do most schools have them?
Well, they should have an asthma emergency kit. The foundation supplies those to schools, and in those, they then go and get a prescription and a reliever inhaler to have in that emergency kit. So they should do. And I think it's really important because when you're looking at a classroom of around maybe 30, you know, you'll have 4 kids in there with asthma. So it's sensible to have one.
Do we talk about it enough in our school settings so that kids in classrooms understand that those living with asthma can be right amongst them? It seems a kaupapa that's not discussed all that often. I'm talking with my mokopuna anyway, they very rarely would raise the issue. Do we need to talk it through more in education settings and indeed at home?
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, here at the foundation, it's the fact that there's a lot of people who manage their asthma well, and that's about being aware of it, because I think in New Zealand we tend to be a little bit complacent with asthma. You know someone who's got asthma and, oh yeah, okay, well, you know, they take their inhaler. But, you know, you do have 77 people who die from asthma a year, and when it goes wrong, it really does go wrong. And we hear those terrible and, you know, sad stories about kids on sports fields who have an asthma attack and end up dying because, you know, there isn't a reliever. They don't know what to do in an asthma emergency. So it's about better asthma management, making sure your kids have a child asthma plan, and, like you said, having that kōrero with our tamariki, because it is really important.
Well, let's talk about why it should be so that there might be more asthma prevalent at the start of a school year than perhaps in the middle.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You'd think with that winter, you know, we know that winter you get your pneumonias and flus, and you'd expect asthma attacks to be up then, but it actually is in week 3 and 4 of term 1. And I think some of that is just, you know, the kids have been away from the school environment for some time, from interacting with a lot of different other kids. Or they might be just starting their kura as well. Or there's also that anxiety. I mean, some kids get a little bit anxious, you know, going back to school, and we know that that can bring on asthma attacks as well.
1 in 8 seems a pretty high rate of people living with asthma. What's the Māori rate like, Letitia?
Yeah, so for Māori, it's actually for our Māori students and AMSUC people, it's 3 times more than European Pakeha, New Zealand. And, you know, I think that's a scary thought. It's really making sure that we are having that kōrero, like you said. The foundation does also supply a lot of our plans and resources online for free, also in Te Reo as well, for some of our full immersion kura schools. And we also have our Sailor Pufferfish shows, which are educational shows that schools can reach out to us and we can have a performer come in. We have a fluent Te Reo Māori speaking performer for those schools as well. who speak just the full immersion, Te Reo Māori. And I think that, you know, it's all just about that talking. That's the really important thing. You know, just really normalising it. You can have a very active life. You can be really sporty living with asthma. Just make sure you're managing it well.
Tēnā koe. But obviously, the onus of that is for those who are dealing with it. And some know the situation, asthma, intimately through intergenerational issues. Mm. Is it something that has hereditary factors to it?
Yeah, there's a lot of aspects to that, and certainly that that can be a case. You will see families where, you know, the asthma has seems to go through from right down from your, you know, the grandparents right down to the Mokopuna. So I think that that certainly is an aspect, and also the clean green, all the trees and the and what we have here in New Zealand has been a big part of that. We know pollen brings on asthma attacks, and that can be a trigger as well. So there's a lot of different factors, but I guess at the end of the day, it's not something that there is a cure for. It's about all about that management and all about that understanding. You can have a, you know, really active life living with asthma, and certainly if you go onto Foundation, you'll see our Asthma Achiever Awards, which we're actually running at the moment. We've got kids who have achieved well in sporting, who have lived with asthma. It's all about just really talking about it and managing it better.
Tēnā koe. What about vaping? I know that you've been speaking regularly about the risks of it's become so prevalent so quickly, and very concerning, particularly for our young people, but not exclusively. Plenty of older people are vaping too. What's the situation you've read there, and how might it relate to our Māori strategies going forward?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, you know, for current smokers who are trying to quit, we've always said, you know, that there is a place, or there may be a place for vapes when they can't quit using MedSafe approved products. That may be something that works for them, and that's never been the issue from the Foundation's perspective. We know that 20% of our young kids, our rangatahi, are actually regular vapers, and, you know, that's around the board. So, you know, one in five, which is really sad. We have, and I think you've spoken to Sharon as well, our Apiha Takiwanga down in Tarawhiti, and we're really pleased to say that we also have been supported, not by the ministry, I'll add, Dale, but we've been supported by a grant to get our first tamaki matauro, Apiha Takiwanga, out in the community as well, and she'll be starting a couple of weeks and being able to go out to schools and talk to people. And that's it, it's education. You know, kids, just a lot of them still say, you know, they think it's just water. They don't understand that there's any harm with vaping.
Well, the research one, it wasn't what we call deep, was it? It's they sort of bounced out onto our shelves. Next thing you know, the cost of cigarettes driven people into vaping, but we're really unsure about the long-term impacts of that decision.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we were a complete guinea pig, and there were no regulations, and the Foundation was very active in pushing for those regulations. You know, it took 3 years before vapes, when they really hit the market, before they even put in the R18 restrictions on these products. So, you know, we're very slow. You know, the ministry is very slow to enact different policies usually. So we've got to protect our kids. You know, reducing outlets was a good opportunity to do that with the vaping products. Certainly when we go into schools, one of the number one things the kids say is it's just so accessible. You know, you've got to have that wraparound, you know, support to do it. So the prescription model seems to make sense. And certainly, you know, when I've crossed over the ditch, you do not see youth vaping in Australia. You just don't see it down the street. Whereas I walk around here, you know, down in Pōneke, and it's everywhere. You know, the kids are vaping everywhere.
And it's the same here. It's certainly, I'm used to seeing kids vaping in school uniforms, but I won't say which school. But there we go. Hey, Letitia, thanks for sharing some kōrero. For those of you who are listening today and have an understanding of the realities of living with asthma, just be reminded that many are heading back to school, and we can make sure that the school has a management plan or a personal management plan and access to inhalers or the like that can alleviate some of the symptoms when life gets difficult. Letitia Harding joins us as the Chief Executive of the Asthma Foundation of New Zealand. Thanks, Letitia. We'll talk again through the year. Ngā mihi.
Cheers. Ngā mihi.
Thank you.